God is good, isn't he? Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Let me say this. You've got authority. Listen closely. You've got authority in the name of Jesus over the devil, over every demon, over every sickness, over every disease. You have authority over them in the name of Jesus. About a week ago Tuesday, I was parked somewhere in my truck, and a spirit of infirmity attached itself to my body and tried to kill me. And I broke out in a cold sweat, and I could feel the enemy just going down into my innermost being trying to destroy me. And so I used the name of Jesus, and I'm not all sure all what I said because it was an attack on my body. It was something I don't want anybody to go through. But anyways, the last thing I remember, I said, "Jesus, heal me." 2 hours later, I woke up in my truck, totally healed, totally healed. Passed out in my truck for 2 hours. And I know during that two-hour period, the Holy Spirit was doing surgery on me. He was healing my body. And that's what we believe around this church. We believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did while he walked the face of this earth, he's still doing today. Come on. Through those who believe, don't let him lie to you. We've been showing you the past 3 weeks where Jesus said the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. I'm not giving the devil no credit for what he did to me. I'm giving God the glory that we ran him out of my body. Amen. None of us are immune to the attacks of the enemy, but every one of us that are born-again believers have authority in the name of Jesus to run that skunk out of your body, run him out of your marriage, run him out of your family. We've got that authority. Amen? Well, anyways, the Lord's been dealing with me today about mercy. Give the Lord a hand. That's fine. He's the healer. And there's so much the Bible has to say about God's mercy. There's so much involved here that it would take a long time to really teach it and give you examples of it. But hopefully we can just give you a revelation of the mercy of God and how to receive it and how to give it. Because if there's anything we need now in this nation, it's God's mercy. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Mercy is this. This is one definition of it. It's a compassion that forbears punishing even when justice demands it. Let me say that again. Mercy is compassion that forbears punishing even when justice demands it. When God made a covenant with mankind, he made a covenant of mercy. I want to read Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 through 12, and we're going to take communion this morning. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my word in their mind and write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They won't have to teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they'll know me from the least to the greatest. Why? For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness." Right there it is. "I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Give the Lord a hand for that. Merciful to their unrighteousness. He said, "I will choose mercy over judgment." God withheld punishment from us and put our punishment on his own son, Jesus. Come on, you talk about mercy. Listen, every one of you today, you're here because of the mercy of God. And we have a promise that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord because of God's divine mercy. Because when we deserved hell, he placed hell on his own son, Jesus Christ, made him to be sin for us, and allowed him to spend 3 days in hell to take our place. Think about that. You talk about a merciful God. And time on this planet is so short. Thank God for his mercy. He said, "All shall know me from the least to the greatest because of my mercy." Instead of judging them for their sins and their iniquities, I'm going to have mercy on them. And the only reason that we, the people of God, are still on this planet is because of the mercy of God. Trust me. Peter, when he wrote his letter, he understood a little bit about mercy because he made every mistake you can make. Cussed by the fireplace, denying that he even knew Jesus. The very one that pulled his sword out and cut Malchus's ear off. Said, Lord, I'll die with you. And denied Jesus three times. But he understood the mercy of God. And he read it in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. He said here, which in time past we were not even a people. But now we're the people of God. We had not obtained mercy when we weren't the people of God, but now we're the people of God because we have obtained mercy. Give the Lord a hand for that. It's because of His mercy. I know in my heart, after walking with the Lord over 45 years, that more people would come to Christ if they understood how merciful the God really is. Really is. I honestly believe that's why He hasn't wrapped up this thing yet, because of His mercy for the lost. Listen, everything is in place for the rapture of the church and the tribulation. Everything is falling into place for the rapture of the church. And I went to the Lord about it more than once because it breaks my heart how many babies are being murdered in America alone. It breaks my heart to see the sex trafficking and these little kids stolen from their parents because of the illegal aliens coming across the border and drug trafficking and the fentanyl that's in this country and our very government endorsing gender change for our children. Breaks my heart. And they're going to be judged. Listen, they're going to be judged. It's a matter of time. And the Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while and boom, it's gone. And I've went to the Lord about it, and I know He spoke to me about His mercy. When Jeremiah was lamenting over the sins of the children of Israel, and it was breaking his heart, but God reminded him about His mercy. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. Look what he said. After he was lamenting, and it was bothering him what was going on in the nation, he said, this I call to remind, therefore I have hope. What did he say here? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He said, it's because of the Lord's, listen, it's because of the Lord's mercy right now that the ungodly are not being consumed. Amen. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we're still on this planet called Earth. But it's not going to last forever. One day, listen closely, one day God's going to wrap this thing up. But He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody, listen, God hates to see people go to hell. He doesn't send them to hell. They send themselves to hell for rejecting who He is. And saying that, and don't even believe in God and don't even believe in the Bible. Peter went on to say in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 here, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. What's keeping Him from coming back right now is His mercy. He doesn't want to see, listen, we all have people we know that are borderline. Are you listening? They're not living right. They don't go to church. They don't serve God. And the more I see this and the more I get a revelation of this, and hopefully you will today, we need to pray for God's mercy. Come on. We need to pray for God's mercy on them. Let me say this, because the church is so judgmental. Instead of judging the lost, we need to have the same mercy towards them that God has had toward us. Can I say that again? Instead of judging those who are lost, we need to have the same mercy on them that God showed to us. That's right. Come on, help me out a little bit here. It's imperative and required by God that we replace our judgment of others with the mercy of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, the ones that show mercy, because they will receive mercy. And I don't know about you, but I still need God's mercy every single day of my life. Sometimes because of people and stupid stuff and all the stuff going on in the world and all the news media, this old man wants to come out. But I got to put him back in. Hallelujah. Because I've got a job to do and I've got to remember the mercy that God had on me. Mercy. Every one of us were lost at one time. Come on, every one of us. Come on. There was no good sinners. I had some lady tell me, well, I've been saved all my life. I was a good sinner. I said, there's no such thing as a good sinner. Are you listening? When James wrote his book, and I thought about this because he, I'll tell you, I love the book of James. You want to get humbled, read the book of James. Just read what he says about the tongue. Woo, he don't play around. And I like what he said in chapter 2, and she's probably already got it up there, verses 12 and 13. So speak and do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Speak and do as they that shall be judged by the law. For he shall have judgment without mercy that shows no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. In other words, if you don't show any mercy, come on, you're going to be judged without mercy. It's what he says. He shall have judgment without mercy that doesn't show mercy. Man, I don't want to be judged without mercy. I need to be judged by mercy. Come on, help me out. We all need that. We don't need to be like the scribes and the Pharisees. They were always judging and fault-finding. I can't stand to be around fault-finders. And the reason you're finding faults is because you're looking for them. Hello? Matthew, the 9th chapter, and we're going to get into some good stuff on mercy. Man, it's amazing when God lays something on my heart and I start to study it out and pray and open up the Bible and just start digging and reading and praying. It's amazing the revelation we get from the Word of God. In the 9th verse, Matthew 9, starting in the 9th verse, and Jesus passed forth from there and saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus ate at his house. Look here, sat at meat in his house. I just thought I'd throw that in there for you vegetarians. Jesus ate meat. We're having a Thanksgiving dinner November 17th. Man, we're going to have some meat in the house. Amen. As he sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Look here. When the Pharisees saw it, they were there to be judgmental and critical. They said to his disciples, why is your master eating with publicans and sinners? How else are we going to reach him if we don't go out there? How are we going to reach him if we shun him? The church is called to get filled with the Holy Ghost and then go out. Jesus said you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost comes on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Come on, help me out. Jesus heard them running their mouth. When Jesus heard them running their mouth, he said, they that behold don't need a physician, but they that are sick. But go and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. At that time, there were no righteous. They were self-righteous. Self-righteous people stink in the nostrils of God. Come on. We are no better than anyone else. Come on. Give the Lord a hand. We are no better than anyone else. The only thing is, some of us have made a decision to live for Him. And if we don't show the same mercy that God showed us, we're going to be in some trouble. Amen. Let's continue to read here. He said, go and learn what that means. I'm going to have mercy on whoever I want to have instead of sacrifice. I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. We don't need to be like the scribes and the Pharisees who are always judging and finding fault. And we need to remember this morning, and what an awesome time for God to lay this on my heart. When we take communion this morning, we need to remember, even when we did not deserve it, God had mercy on us. Come on. You're looking at a man that God had mercy on. And most of you didn't know me before I got saved. Steve Williams knew me better than anybody else. We grew up together. And we actually signed up to go in the Army together. And but it didn't happen, so he left me go by myself. So I made it, Steve. I made it. But I had a violent, violent temper. I'm not bragging, but I beat up a lot of grown men in my life. I beat them up bad. I mean bad. I'm not bragging about that. But thank God he had mercy on me. He had mercy on me. And I want to read what Paul wrote to the letter to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. You hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us at one time lived without Christ. He said, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. We were all lost at one time. Maybe some of us were worse, but we were still separated from an almighty God. Come on. We all said stupid stuff. We all by nature, we all had sin nature on the inside of us. Amen. He said, among whom all, we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh. Every one of us. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That describes every one of us before we accepted Christ. We were heathens. Verse 4, but God, hallelujah, who is rich in mercy, for his great love where he loved us, rich in mercy, even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Hallelujah. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, that's today, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. You had nothing to do with it. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His mercy is a decision by God not to give us what we deserve. Paul said at one time, we all walked around according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He said, we all had our conversation in the lust of our flesh. But verse 4, he said, but God who is rich in mercy. His mercy is what came running. We deserve judgment. David, you talk about a man that needed mercy. If you just pull out a Bible dictionary, pull up the word mercy, and see how many times David mentions mercy in the Psalms, it'll blow you away. He made so many mistakes, murder, adultery, everything you can think of. But he understood about the mercy of God. In the 136th Psalm, David mentions 26 times in the one song that God's mercy endures forever. I think he was trying to convince himself. Amen? He wanted it to sink in. He wanted us to be thankful every day for God having mercy on us. Psalm 136, just the first three verses, and it goes on. Every end of these verses, he says, God's mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. And he goes on and he goes on. And after every verse of this psalm, he says, God's mercy endures forever. Aren't you glad for that this morning? We need to thank him and give him praise. We need to thank him and give him praise. David was ever thankful for God's mercy because he sinned against God and he knew that he deserved judgment. Solomon 25:7 says this, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me for goodness sake, O Lord. He said, God, don't remember all the stupid stuff I did. God, don't remember my past. And he doesn't. He said, please have mercy on me. And God did. And he will. And he'll continue to do if we'll keep a right attitude. Come on. He'll continue to have mercy on us because his mercy endures forever. In the 94th Psalm, are you glad about this morning? Glad about it like I am? Amen. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord has been my help, my soul would dwell in silence. But when I said, my foot slips, O mercy, Lord, help me. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. He said, when my foot began to slip and everyone was coming against me, he said, God's mercy held me up. And it's God's mercy that's holding us up, especially in America today. It's his mercy that's holding this country together in the midst of all the chaos and all the garbage that's going on in this nation. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. It's his mercy. And we need to get out and vote the Bible. Come on, we need to get out and vote the Bible. This upcoming election, and I said it 4 years ago, but it's even worse today. This upcoming election is the most important election of our lifetime. Come on, we need to get out and we need to vote. Come on. Vote the Bible. What's the Bible? Red. You got a red lettered edition? Vote red. Debbie spends a lot of time making our... Where's she at? Did she disappear? She was here. What happened? The rapture didn't take place, did it? Did she not come? Hopefully she's all right. I thought I saw her. Maybe I didn't. But she spends a lot of time making these bulletins. Please make sure when you leave this morning, on the right, the magazine rack, get that bulletin and read the pastor's desk. Amen? Read the pastor's desk that I wrote about this upcoming election. Very, very important. Very, 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 very important. He said, man, when my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, held me up. Every time David was about to fall, God's mercy got a hold of him and saved him. He deserved judgment. Mercy held him up. Listen, mercy had a lot to play in King David's longevity. It had a lot to do with it. And he understood that. The 61st Psalm, amen. Debbie normally, she probably texted me and I probably didn't get the message. She might be with Scarlett. How's Scarlett doing? She doing better? Okay, good, good. These babies this time of year when it's 80 one day and 40 the next, you know, it's easy for them to get a little bit of a cold and stuff. Look what it says here. Thou will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. Mercy and truth which may preserve him. No one can tell me that the mercy of God did not preserve Donald Trump's life. Nobody could tell me that. Nobody could tell me that God's mercy didn't show up. That was nothing short of a miracle. Nothing short of a miracle. I slept with an M16 on a DMZ in Korea for a year. I slept with that thing. It was my best friend. I can take it apart with my eyes closed behind my back. And every one of you that has ARs, a lot of you do, you understand the ballistics of a 5.56 or a 2.23. That was nothing but a miracle. Give God the glory. God had mercy. If there's ever a man that God had mercy on, it's Donald Trump. Everything that they try to do to that man for the last 8 years, attacking and Russian collusion, lied, and all this other stuff. That ought to show the believer the mercy, come on, that God has for us. Give the Lord a hand. He's merciful. He's merciful. It says it preserved him. It preserved him for years. He said, his mercy preserved me. Amen. 1 Chronicles 26 through 29. Look what it says here. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. The time he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron. 33 years he reigned in Jerusalem. He died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Why? Because mercy preserved him. Mercy will preserve you. Mercy is what's preserving the church today. Come on. Mercy is the reason. Mercy is the reason when Gabriel blows that trumpet that we're going to be out of here. Come on. In the moment and the twinkling of an eye. It's God's mercy that some of us are still alive today because his mercy is a preservative. Mike Bickmeyer's had more surgeries than you could ever imagine. We're back there. And one year he got attacked and my wife told him, she goes, you're preserved. And then he found in the Bible where the God says listen, God's mercy preserved that man for such a time as this. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Many of you should have been dead. Amen. But because of God's mercy, you're still here. If you will study the New Testament, and if you'll just read the four Gospels, because it's a gospel according to Matthew, gospel according to Luke, the gospel according to John. And it's their perspectives on what they saw. You know, one was in one part of the room when Jesus was there and he heard one thing going on. And the other was in the other part of the room while Jesus was teaching. And as we read the four Gospels, we can get the full extent and we can understand the full ministry that Jesus had. But as I studied this out, I found out that how much that God's mercy releases divine power to heal. His mercy releases divine power to heal. And I want to give you a few scriptures and just show you here. I want to, Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 through 30. I want you to see this. This is worth listening to today. When Jesus departed there, two blind men followed him, saying and crying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. They didn't say, heal us. They didn't say, we need to be. They said, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him and Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened and Jesus straightly charged them saying, see that no man know it. They said, that was the cry, Son of David, have mercy on us. And chapter 15 and verse 22, just going to show you a couple of them. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And we know from reading the scripture that Jesus got her daughter healed. Come on, because she asked for mercy. Chapter 17 and verse 15, just giving you a few of these. Study them yourself. And this was talking about, just look here. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and into the water. And we know that Jesus had mercy on him and got him set free. For the first time in that young man's life, he was able to go camping with his dad. We showed you this story before. They took his son to the disciples. They couldn't help him. But what did he do? He asked Jesus for mercy. Hallelujah. One more, chapter 20. These are just a few. Study it out for yourself. Verse 30 and 31. Two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard Jesus pass by, they cried out saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. The multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried more saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and asked him what he wanted them to do. And they said that we want to receive their sight. And they both got healed. Give the Lord a hand. They both got healed because of the mercy of God. Mercy. You see the pattern here? Do you see the power of mercy? It releases the divine compassion of God. It's a characteristic of the goodness of God. And David said in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because we are God's offspring, and we may not get to all this today, but because we are God's offspring and his mercy saved us from the punishment that we deserved. Listen closely. We are required by God to have love for mercy. And I know by God showing me this that every one of us take mercy way too lightly. It's one of the things that we're required by God. Put Micah 6:8 up there for me. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man of God, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Here we go. It's a requirement. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He wants us to... It's a requirement for every one of us. And I'm guilty sometimes. You talk about putting up with folks, you ought to have my job. And I'm quick to want to judge, and I'm quick to want to say stupid stuff. But thank God, I was coming up Sand Hill, I think it was yesterday. And just as I was getting up on this driveway, there's a man that didn't even look my way. He just shot out of his driveway and almost wiped me out. And my flesh wanted to chase him down and ask him what was wrong with him. I didn't. And you know what I was reminded? You're going to preach on mercy. Just have mercy on the guy. Have mercy. Come on. And when I said that, when that word mercy came out of my mouth, you know, it released a peace in my heart. Because he didn't know what he was doing. Probably in a hurry, or maybe he was stoned. I don't know. Almost wiped me out, though. But I said, I got to practice what I love when God gives me these messages because, and I'm just going to tell you this, probably before the day's out, you're going to have to exercise mercy. Come on. Come on, help me out before the day's out. If not today, tomorrow at work, you definitely will. You need to remember this. Amen. One of the things I'm thankful for, that God's mercy, it's not a temporary thing. It's an eternal thing. Give the Lord a hand. It's an eternal thing. It's an everlasting thing. Amen. Psalm 103, verse 17 and 18. Look what it says here. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. If you didn't fear God, you wouldn't be here today. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. And we're going to remember, if there's nothing else that we're going to remember today, it's that God had mercy toward us, come on, and we're going to have mercy towards others. Come on. That's why we get mercy, listen closely. We get mercy by being merciful. And we can always go to God, listen closely, when we need more mercy. Because what Jesus did for us, and we're going to celebrate that when we take communion, because what Jesus did for us took our punishment. We can go to the throne of grace and obtain mercy anytime we need it. Thank God for that. Give the Lord a hand for that. And I don't know about you, man, but I'm thankful for that because we all need his mercy. In Hebrews 4, Paul records this in verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can go to him, come on, we can go boldly to the throne of grace and ask God for mercy. Amen. And we keep it, listen closely, this is so important. When we get it, we keep it by releasing it. We keep it by releasing it. I'm only going to receive mercy in the same measure that I give mercy. Remember this. I'm only going to receive mercy in the same measure that I give mercy. It's the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Back to Matthew 5:7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So instead of being so judgmental and critical of those that we don't care for, instead of judging them and putting stuff online about them, we need to have mercy for them. Come on, help me out just a little bit. Pray that God will have mercy on them. Pray. Pray for that. The Apostle Paul was hated and criticized more than any other man in the Bible because of what he had done. Murdered Christians, put them in jail, persecuted them. But somewhere along the line, someone was spiritually mature enough to ask God to have mercy on him. Because when he wrote his letter to Timothy, Timothy was a young pastor, and Paul wrote two letters to him to help him out. In the first chapter of Timothy, the first verse, verses 12 through 16, look what he says here. He said, I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who enabled me, and he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, I was injurious. He caused a lot of injury. He was even a murderer. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Jesus Christ. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe on him to everlasting life. Look what happened. Listen, don't ever say anyone can't be saved. Look at Paul. Because the mercy of God is more powerful than any judgment that we could ever have. Come on, give the Lord a hand. His mercy is more powerful than any sin that could ever be committed. Everyone that is lost in ignorance and unbelief, like Paul was, needs to obtain mercy. And if they don't see it in us, then where are they going to see it? Can I say that again? If they don't see mercy in us, where are they going to see it? We're his hands. We're his feet. We're his mouthpiece. When we show mercy instead of judgment, we're showing the very goodness of God, and we are required to do so. Amen. I love Paul's writings when he wrote his letters to Colossians, chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. Look what he said here. There's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Bowels of mercies. That's the first thing he said to put on. Humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. That means the ability to put up with folks. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against anyone, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Put on bowels of mercy. The word bowels here means an inward affection from deep within. An inward affection from deep within. Listen, he tells us that's our job to do that. It says to put this on. It doesn't say it'll happen automatically. Let me say, huh? It doesn't happen automatically. When you start to pray for mercy, God will give you an opportunity to show mercy. When somebody runs you off the road, or driving down a road, and somebody comes up beside you and flips you off for no reason. Amen? Amen. Come on, help me. I wonder when you get squeezed, what comes out of you? You squeeze a lemon, lemon juice comes out. You squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. And you want to really know what's on the inside of you? Where do you get squeezed? Come on. When you get squeezed, if the F-bomb comes out of you, you better pray for mercy for you and the one that caused you to say that. Come on now. Somebody said, oh my God, have you been listening to me, Pastor? No, I haven't. Am I telling the truth? He said, put on bowels of mercies. Amen. Put it on. It doesn't happen automatically. Mercy goes against the flesh, but it must be done. If there's one thing that goes against the flesh, it's mercy for others, especially when they lie about you, put stupid stuff online about you. Come on, am I telling the truth this morning? Help me out just a little bit. And man, when we take communion, this is going to help us this morning. 1 Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And this just is so plain, if we judge ourselves. When we take communion this morning, we need to do this. We need to release mercy. We need to forgive those who have been not too good to us. Amen? I've heard people say, but you don't know what so-and-so did to me. I know what they did to Jesus. Did they spit in your face? Did he slap you up alongside your head? They did that to Jesus. What we need to do, we need to replace those feelings with mercy. Because it's a compassion that forbears punishing even when justice demands it. Don't ever forget the times past when you messed up and God had to show mercy. Listen, some of you mess up every day, right? Come on. Come on. Come on, we all have thoughts. Come on, we all have thoughts that we shouldn't have. There are people that we would love to get revenge on, right? You know, one of the things that God dealt with me about that I need to start praying for mercy for Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, because if anyone needs it, it's them. Come on, help me out. So many times we want to judge them, but they're doing, if they really knew God and knew what the Bible says, they wouldn't be doing this stuff. But they don't. And one day they're going to have to give an account. Listen, one day we're going to have to stand before the Lord. I thought a little over a week ago, I thought I checked out. I was passed out for 2 hours. I know the Holy Spirit was doing surgery on me because I woke up healed. At first I thought I woke up and I was in heaven. I thought, then I saw the dashboard of the truck. I said, I'm still here. Still here. And as long as we're here, come on, we're going to do what the Lord says. Come on, give the Lord a hand. We're going to do what the Lord says. Romans chapter 11. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. For as in time past, you in times past have not believed God. Right? Every one of us, there was a time past. But yet now you have obtained mercy through their unbelief. So even these, this is good, even so have these also not believed, but through your mercy they may obtain mercy. In other words, you're the only hope for them. We're the only hope for some of these people. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon everyone. If God wants to have mercy on everyone, then we need to, come on, have mercy on everyone, whether we like him or whether we don't. Because we're called to be imitators of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 3 through 7. We ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward man. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Hallelujah. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen? Amen. And it all has to do with his mercy. I want to close this morning. We're going to take communion. I want to read something that Jesus said that pretty much sums up everything that I've said this morning. Is there anyone that you can think of that has offended you that you should have mercy on? Raise your hand. I got both of them. Huh? When I hear people close to me griping about people that aren't as pleasing as they should be, I said, instead of you talking about it, why don't you pray for mercy? Why don't you speak life over them? Why don't you ask God to have mercy? Why don't you? Hello? Isn't that the God-fearing thing to do? Jesus wraps it up right here, and then we're going to take some communion. And Luke 6:35. This is a tough thing to do here. But nothing's easy. We have to do everything by faith. You know, it's amazing. We'll use our faith for healing, won't we? We use our faith for divine provision. But we also need to use our faith to have mercy on others. Come on, help me out right here. I've had to read this more than once when I wanted to address some folks. Love your enemies. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. and you shall be the children of the Highest. Now look here, for He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. Do you know why He's kind to the evil? Because He's trying to reach them. He's trying to reach them because He doesn't want any of His creation going to hell. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. In other words, act like your Father who is God. Judge not, and you won't be judged. Condemn not, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Now I'm going to show you something. Look at this next verse. Many times, many preachers use this next verse talking about finances, but it's all talking about showing mercy and forgiveness. Look what it says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. What was he talking about here? Mercy and forgiveness. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And he's talking about mercy, and he's talking about forgiveness here. Be merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, you won't be judged. Condemn not, you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be given. Give mercy, and you shall be given back to you again. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for your word this morning, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, that was the word for today. The word that every one of us needed to hear, especially me. And as we take communion this morning, Father, I pray that we'll search our hearts, every one of us. If there's someone that we don't care for, someone that's done us wrong, even whether it's an ex or whoever, that Father God, that we'll be able to release that unforgiveness as we take communion, and we'll be able to release it and replace it. Release it and replace it with your mercy so we can walk out of here free and blessed, because you said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I'm going to ask those ushers to come up and give us communion this morning.